Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
It is October 17, 2023, and this is Sherry Batrick, and I am visiting with Carol Harlan from Warrensburg, Missouri, and I am in my home in Independence, Missouri, and we are doing this interview by telephone, and Carol is in Warrensburg at her property there, and she is going to tell us her story of coming to and being here in Missouri, which is an exciting thing. So, Carol, we're going to turn the time over to you to just tell us your story. And I may ask you a couple of questions here and there, but largely I'm just going to let you talk.
You may regret that wording. Because sometimes when I get talking, I just can't stop because I'm so full of excitement.
Oh, that's just fine.
Well, you want to hear our story, and the story is fairly long, but it goes along a path that I sometimes wonder if the path wasn't already chosen for us before we ever got together, my husband and I. But he came from a carnival family that they had been show business before that in vaudeville and so on. And then I had come from just a family that was just hardworking and poor, very poor, pretty much all their lives until later on when my mother had completed a secretarial school and got a job, and then we started having a little bit more. But my mother was always very religious, and I remember when she had hard times, I would find her on her knees praying in the other room on how they were going to get through the problems. And so as a young child, I was on my knees a lot because I followed my mother's example. And when I was baptized, I remember telling the Lord, I was so thankful that he had forgiven my sins. And my sins were that I had been sassy to my mother. And I asked the Lord to forgive me for that and made a promise that I would quit sassing my mother and give her the love and respect that she deserved. If he would, and I wanted him then to forgive me also and to guide me in the things that I needed to do on this earth. And I remember this wonderful feeling at the time that the Lord was with me. And so my baptism became one of the most important episodes in my life because I felt that spirit early in my life. And so I promised the Lord that I would live a life pleasing unto him. I wanted to please him my whole life long. And if he would help me, I would do that. And I had this wonderful feeling of acceptance of that promise. And so I grew up loving everything about religion, studying religions. By the time I was 15 years old, I had attended so many different churches, just seeing how people worshiped. And I could never feel the same spirit when I attended those other churches with friends of mine that I felt in my own church. So I just thought, you know, I'm on the right track. I'm on the right track because none of the other churches had a spirit that went into my soul like my own church did. Mm-hmm. So I continued on the path, learning about the church and studying. And when I was 15 years old, my a group of people in my area in Utah decided they were going to take a trip to study church history of all the teenagers that wanted to go and could afford to go. Mm. So,
where were you living at the time when you were growing up?
I was living in Midvale, Utah.
Okay.
At the time.
Great.
And this was coming from up in the area of Bountiful, Utah.
Mm.
Because they named the trip Socotwa, Socotwa, and it was my understanding that that somehow meant that it was the stake area south. I mean, let's see, what was it? SOC, South Cottonwood Ward, I think it was, up above Salt Lake City, Utah, up in that area of Bountiful. And I think that that had to do with those initials, how they named it Socotwa. And so, South Cottonwood Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Another person said it was an Indian word for touring and traveling, but I found out it wasn't. So I'm assuming that's what the initials meant, was just the initials of the ward who initially wanted to take all these teenage kids on a church history tour. But I had been... this is the strangest thing, because my mother had asked me when I was 15 years old if I could get it. She asked me to get a job to help the family because we were so poor, and they needed me to work. And so I attempted several jobs, but my mother saw an ad in the newspaper that said they were auditioning dancers to go on a trip, and the pay was good. They would pay Artist Guild's wages. And so she called the number, and they told her that they were auditioning people. Well, in the first place, I was not a dancer. I had not had dancing lessons. I just loved to dance. And I seemed to do it, you know, I danced with my dad at any church dances that we went to, and I would dance with boys if they knew anything about dancing, and that was the only kind of dancing I knew.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved it. I loved the music and the dance and all of those things. So my dad always told me, he said, Carol, you can do anything you want to do. You're just made that way. And I said, well, I don't know about that, but I know I love music, and I love moving to the music and so on. So my mother arranged for me to audition. Well, see, I think all of this is a God thing, because I wasn't a dancer. An opportunity came up, and all of a sudden I was auditioning when I'm 15 years old. Nobody ever asked me my age. And I'm auditioning to become a chorus line dancer and travel all over.
Wow.
The pay was going to be $100 a week, which was more than both my parents made together.
Mm.
And so I auditioned, and out of over 300 girls auditioning, I was chosen. They only needed one dancer. And it was on the end of the line. I was the right height. I was the right weight. I was the right everything. They thought I had cute legs because I had to audition in a bathing suit with some high heels, which I'd never worn high heels in my life. And so I got the job. Now, I go home and I say, Father in heaven, what has just happened here? And what am I going to do? And the answer was just a calmness that said, you're going to help your family. And that was it. So I went out and I got fitted for costumes. I went to rehearsals. It was so much fun. I loved it. Caught onto the dance steps in nothing flat, and pretty soon I was a chorus line dancer. So we went out on the road and went to all these wonderful places, and I was reading the history of Martin Luther while I'm on the bus all the time, because it was so interesting about the formation of the Protestant movement. Mm-hmm. And so every time that I would be reading these books, this book, it was a big, thick book, and people would always disturb me. And while we were out on the road, and we were in Glendive, Montana, now, we went to all these different churches while we were traveling because I couldn't find an LDS church in most of those places at the time. This is back in 19, let's see, when was it? It would have been, I graduated high school in 59, so it would have been 1957.
Okay.
56 and 57. So, and those were days when there weren't very many churches of my of our denomination out there on the road. A lot of times they would just be people meeting in a home somewhere that missionaries had contacted, and they formed their own little organization there until the church was established in that area. So while on this trip in Glendive, Montana, one of the girls came over to the bus and said, Carol, drop that book. There's a cute guy over in the carnival, and we want you to go with us. And in fact, the boss was very adamant that the girls not travel any place alone. Mm-hmm. Always be together. Well, we were in our costumes because we were going to perform. So I just dropped the book. I said, well, I really don't want to. I'm reading a book. They said, oh, there's a cute guy over there, and we want to go look at him. So off we go to look at a cute guy in the carnival. And when I looked up and saw this young man, he was standing in front of a court gun stand where you shoot the gun and win a prize. Mm-hmm. And all the girls are giggling and laughing as we go across the carnival grounds there. We entertained on the stage, which was beyond the carnival grounds. And so we had to walk across the carnival grounds to get over there. We're giggling and laughing and just acting like stupid young girls act as they're going out into the world. And so we get over there to this carnival stand, and he is so tall and slim and dark-haired and had a beautiful smile. And so the girls are all giggling and laughing and smiling at him and introducing themselves to him. And I was standing back a little bit. And all of a sudden, he looked right at me. And he said, "Do you want to shoot my cord gun?" And I said, "I've never shot a cord gun before, or a gun of any kind." And he said, "Well, I'll show you." And he hopped over the counter and came over and put his arms around me and so he could aim the gun and show me what I'm looking at. And I never had a young man do that.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, my heart was racing, and I thought, "Oh my goodness, wow, this is some guy." And he taught me how to shoot, but I never hit a target. I missed all the targets, but he kept handing me prizes every time I shot the cord gun. Okay. Well, to make a long story short, he started coming over to watch our show. And he'd watch me put on makeup, and he'd watch me get ready for the show. And then his mother would be calling him to come back to work and so on. And long story short, he ended up being my husband later on, 4 years later. We wrote letters back and forth. I told him a lot about the church during those letters. He hadn't ever gone to church. He didn't know what church was all about. And so later on, when I'm 19 years old, we found ourselves together in San Antonio, Texas. And we got married by two Mormon missionaries down there. And then we, later on, we went to the temple, was baptized, and we went to the temple. And all of those things were like, in my heart, it was meant to be, because I would have never been acquainted with a carnival person had I not been on the road dancing and sending money to my parents.
Wow.
And that was not anything any Mormon girl does. And it was just so weird to be so distant from what my normal life was. And yet, it was something that I loved doing. And it introduced me to so many different people in life and in the church who were struggling out there in the world and trying to establish the religion in their areas. And I would meet them while I was traveling on the road, and some of them became friends for life. So it ended up, long story short again, I ended up traveling for 2 years doing this, and then he and I eloped, and I got married and informed my husband I was married. And when I came home, they were so thrilled that he was such a wonderful guy, and we were sent to Europe in the military, where he became baptized in the church. And we were kind of like two young missionaries while we were on in the military, because we just would always try to find a church where we could go to, and then people became involved in our lives and we in theirs, and life was just wonderful. Wonderful, and we started having children. And so I had two children born in Germany. And when we came back, they had German birth certificates, Geburtsurkunde. And I had to get those translated into English birth certificates, and then we went on with life from there.
Wow.
Later on, we were sent to Missouri. And that was the strangest thing, because my husband and I had been in school. After high school, we both had been in school for 10 years, and I had gotten my bachelor's degree in teaching French and psychology. So I got a job teaching school to support us while he finished school. And he went ahead and he got his degree in history and taught in Bountiful, Utah for a year. And then we decided that if we were ever going to get anywhere, he needed to finish school and go back for a master's degree. So he knew nothing about speech pathology and audiology or communication disorders, but he majored in that then and got the master's degree. And then he went on while I'm supporting us, and we're having children at the same time. And by the time we finished, we had 5 children, and I was pregnant with the son. And we got a call that he was out on the road with his folks to earn money in the summer to get us on through school. And then I get a call from him, and he said, "I've got a job interview in Warrensburg, Missouri." And he said, "That's the strangest thing, but it's closer to my folks. His folks lived in Kansas. So I'm going to go out and interview for the job." So his mother buys him his new suit. He comes to Missouri, and he interviews with the job. And they for some reason, asked him what religion he was. And he told them he belonged to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And they said, "Is that the Mormons?" And he said, "Yes." And they said, "Well, we had a guy here in this position a few years ago, and he was a Mormon, but he was so strange and decided that he had to go back and live with his church family because he wasn't finding enough church members here." And he said, "Is that going to bother you that you don't have very many church members here?" And my husband said, "No, that doesn't bother me. We can always find them." And so he said, "Well, then, you have a job." Well, we felt like that this was another thing that was just something that God had a hand in, because we never heard of the place where we were coming, and we were going to be living among strangers that we didn't know anyone here. And all of a sudden, here we are. And we have our little family here. We had five, and I was pregnant with the sixth. That's how it went. And so we came here, and he was living in a trailer that we used to go out in the carnival in the summers. And he was living in that, parked up in the trailer park, and I had all those kids, so we sent them down to their grandmothers in southeast Kansas to stay until we found a home. Well, we found a rental. We had a home, but that fell through, and so we rented this other place, brought the kids back up here, and I had the sixth baby here, and my husband delivered the baby himself, because nobody came.
Wow.
But the baby was born clean and with his eyes wide open. And later on, we asked our children, what was their first memory in the places we had lived? And this was at a family home evening. And the kids all told their memories of the place they had lived. And Stephen, who had been born here, said, remember, the first thing I remember being here was a bright light and looking up and seeing my mother crying.
Oh, wow.
And she was happy that she had had me, I guess, but I saw her crying. And he said, that was my first memory here. And he ended up growing up a boy who had all kinds of health problems, but was always close to God.
Mm.
And he died very early in his life from complications of diabetes.
Wow.
And then we had another daughter who died of the same thing years before he died.
Mm.
So we were here in hardships. We were here in joy. We were here in beautiful things and difficult things, and we had trials all along the way. But when we were here, we looked at properties. We never could find anything that was suitable until we walked out onto this piece of land. And we went back through the woods. My husband picked up a twig, and because he was going to have to battle off any cows that might chase us. And I laughed and said, have you never been around cows? And he said, well, no. I said, well, cows are docile. They're out there grazing on the grass. They could care less who we are and what we are. And he said, well, I'm carrying this stick just in case. And so while we're laughing and I'm looking at the property, all of a sudden we're out in the woods when we come out on this kind of a place that has just a big grass field. And all of a sudden I just said to the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you think? What do you think of this place? And I got this wonderful response that said, this is the place.
Mm.
And so I came out on a hill where I'm sitting right now and looked out over this land just full of young trees and looked so beautiful. And I said, so Lord, this is the place. And he said, this is the place. And so I stood there. My husband said, well, what do you think? And I said, this is the place. And he said, okay, then, this is the place. And we bought the place.
Wow.
And we've been here ever since. And we've added a bridge to it.
What year was that that you found your property?
That was in, let's see. That would have been, can I look up that, I've got it in my journal.
Yeah, yeah, we can put that later in your history.
We put that later in because I could read you even what I wrote in my journal at that point in time too.
That'd be awesome.